Sweat? You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Mmm. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. We kick things off in the Premier League, and Liverpool thrashed Manchester United by 4-0 on Tuesday. It was an early start. Just a couple of minutes into the match, Diaz would open the scoring. Salah then would make it 2-0. Mane made it 3. Later on, Salah would get Liverpool's fourth. That is 9-0 over both domestic games this season. Manchester United, an absolute shambles. Liverpool, meanwhile, go top of the table. 2 points clear of Manchester City, are in action on Wednesday as they play host to Brighton. We welcome Stuart Robson to the show. Robbo, before I go to you, Craig, it's no surprise. How many times have we sat here this season?
Wasn't it a hurdle for them?
No.
Really and truly. I mean, everybody can talk. I mean, Stevie knows more about the rivalry. But this is a team that was almost through the lead away against Norwich. This is a team that, hapless Everton, who couldn't win a game. United rolled up and Everton got themselves 3 points. I mean, we were on the NBC telecast, they were saying it was Harlem Globetrotters, it was embarrassing, and I have to echo all those words. It was horrendously bad. And not just that, from a player's perspective, I think you've got to look at Ranić as well and his coaches. They don't come out unscathed out of all this period, because what the hell have they done? Have we seen anything different from this Man United? Anything? Have we seen in 3 or 4 months high energy pressing? Have we seen a passing game? Have we seen a stronger defensive unit? No, the only thing we've seen is a brilliant goalkeeper performing and bailing him out at times. He's the only one. When Ten Hag comes in, he puts De Gea's name on the board and 10 other question marks.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. Now, you're not going to change everybody in a transfer window, but by golly, if he had the choice, he probably would. And that's inclusive of the little Portuguese Fernandes, who they've just given a new contract to. This club has an amazing penchant for shooting itself in the foot with new contracts. They gave Solskjaer one just before they sacked him. They've given Fernandes one when there was no rush to give him one. I mean, the decision-making was just... it's just been horrendous.
How does this compare to Liverpool United? In the, what, 40 years you've been seeing this fixture, Steve?
Yeah, I was telling you earlier. 40 years I've been involved in the Liverpool-Man United fixture. And in 40 years, I never felt the way I did once before I did this game. When I saw the team sheet and I saw Phil Jones at the back and I saw Matic in the middle, I'm like, there's no way this side's getting anything from this. Because Matic can't run. And Phil Jones shouldn't be playing for Manchester United. And I never once had any thoughts other than this game's done. Before the ball was kicked. I've never done that before. Even the 5-0 game at Old Trafford, before the game. I've still got that rivalry in me where I know things can go wrong because of the intense rivalry. Well, there was no intense anything about this game. This was Liverpool against they looked like they were the relegation struggles.
Thiago must have been in the dressing room and said, "What are they telling me about this rivalry?"
I've got to tell you this. It was 2-0. It was just before half-time.
Yep.
And I was actually shouting at Rashford because he never kicked Thiago.
Yep.
That's how bad that Manchester United were. That I was actually shouting at their players to kick Thiago because nobody was going anywhere close to him. They were all standing off him. And I'll tell you what, if you stand off this guy, he can see any pass that's on, anywhere on the field, and he pretty much did that in the first half.
I think Robbo's been very generous.
Well, that's what I was about to say as we welcome Robbo into the conversation. It's quite generous, isn't it? Most getting fives.
Well, five means very poor, so I haven't said
so
most of the players.
What's a three? What's a two?
Oh, we don't go that low in England.
Oh, my goodness, gracious me.
The lowest you can get is a four. And I would give most of those Manchester United players a five for a little bit of effort they showed in the second half. But overall, they were shocking. And Craig is absolutely right. The manager has to take some criticism and his coaching staff. Why would you play Phil Jones? And there's nothing against Phil Jones. He's only played one game, or one started one game against Wolves, where he did okay. He's been out injured for many, many months. He's lacked match fitness. And you play him in a massive game where you need to defend well against a top-class side. You put him as your middle centre-half in a back three, which you haven't played. You then go and put Dalot at left-back, and you play Rashford up front, who's not had a kick in the last, I would say, the last 6 months almost. So it was a team that he put out that was always going to lose, but the way they lost was embarrassing, yeah, particularly in that first half.
Well, how many fouls was it, Stevie, at half-time? Two fouls from Manchester United. That's all they committed. And I mean, that kind of epitomises the lack of fight.
No shots total and two fouls.
You know, I've always said, if you give Thiago time on the ball, he's a terrific little footballer, because he can... And actually, some of his interceptions in the second half... I mean, he was brilliant today. But when you give a guy that time and space, and he does all those little fancy drop of the shoulders and stuff and plays some great passes, then that's what you're going to get.
He gets a nine from Robbo, so that's all right.
Yeah, I mean... I thought, oh, come on, I got my glasses on. Well, just give Robertson an 8, that's all right, because he was up and down the wing. Yo-yo. But I tell you, go back to that point. Sadio Mane played through the middle, if memory serves me right, in the semi-final.
Yep.
OK, so the chances are he was going to probably go the same way. You go with a back three against what we would call these days a false nine and two wider players, you're going to end up with three centre-halves marking nobody. So you're getting overrun in the middle of the park, you're getting overrun in all the other areas, you had Mane dropping in to those little holes to put, you know, Maguire or whoever, Jones didn't know where to go with him or not. He got turned for the first goal. When he did push on, then Thiago got all this space. I mean, when Ralf Rangnick came in, I didn't expect him to be doing brilliant things. I didn't expect him to be City or Liverpool, but I expected a lot more. Now, yeah, there's a lot of wasters at Man United, but I thought he'd have gotten some sort of tune out of them. Mm. I thought we'd at least have seen what we saw when Klopp first took over at Liverpool, when they were way off the pace of winning the league, but we saw a high-intensity pressing game and went, oh, that's...
Yes.
That's how it's going to be, right? And then they improve the quality. We've seen none of that.
The one thing we've got that we didn't expect is that they're actually worse. We didn't see that.
They are worse.
Yeah. We didn't see that coming. We thought, because of the reputation this guy had for closing the ball, which means that you have to wind players up, you have to give, you know, they have to be full of energy, then you're thinking, well, at the very least, that's what we're going to get. Whether the football's good or not, we don't know, but at least we're going to get that energy. Well, I'll tell you what, somebody bust a balloon before the game kicked off, because there wasn't any.
It's actually quite difficult. When you sit and think about it, it's actually quite difficult to spend that amount of money and be that bad. I'm serious. It is quite difficult to do that. That tells you all you need to know about the decision-making. David De Gea, apart, who has, in all fairness to him, and I've said this a couple of weeks ago, who has resurrected his career. He looked as if he was going back to Spain to pick his pension up and play a bit of La Liga, because he looked as if he'd lost all his confidence. He's been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. The rest of them, I don't know. Ten Hag, if Ten Hag was watching that, hope he's not. Oh, I wonder what he's thinking. Because that was, looking at what he has to aspire to and where they are is such a huge jump with the people that club that he's going to have to work with. That's going to be tough.
Is it just a case, Robert, with this personnel, with these players, you take a look at obviously the aspirations to finish in the top four, United are still in that race, but tactically, what could you have done or what you should have done against this Liverpool side to try and shut it down?
Well, what Rangnick should have been doing right from the start when he went in is to come up with a structure, a game, a philosophy that the way he wanted to play, come up with a game plan so that over the coming weeks, over the weeks he's been in charge, they've got better and better at doing that. He went out and every time I watch Manchester United, I'm not quite sure what they're trying to do. Mm. It was the same in the Champions League. What was their game plan in that game against Atletico Madrid? And the game plan again changed today, and there was no, as the guy said, there was no pressing of the ball. They were too open, so they weren't even compact to try and then play on the counter-attack. They were too open. They didn't close the ball down even when it came into good areas. They were hopeless. And I blame a lot of it onto Ranić. Yes, the players have got to take a lot of blame as well. But Ranić has come in and he hasn't done a good job. Whatever anybody says, he's done a poor job.
I tell you what he should have, I think. And listen, people probably don't think this is the right thing to do. Man United can financially suffer not being in the Champions League, or dare I say, Europa League, or dare I say even more, Europa Conference, that who really cares about, particularly not them. They can not be in that, and it doesn't really punch a big financial hole for them. For some other clubs, it does. I think he's withered to some of these players. He came in, he had a way he wanted to play, it wasn't quite working. Mm. Players started whinging to the press, but then he started changing it, and then all this stuff was coming out from the training grounds about the coaching and his decision-making, and nobody understands what he wants. He should have taken those big-time Charlies aside and dropped them. Dropped them out of the way and went, you've got no future at this club. And OK, we're going to take... And he has to go to the board and say, look, we're going to take a hit. We might not get in the top four or top six. We might have to take a hit on salary and some transfer fees, but we need to wean these wasters out.
Yeah.
But he hasn't. He's kind of withered to the whinging of some of the players and, dare I say, the media, and he's tried to find a way around about it by keep changing it. And it's just not worked. It's not worked at all.
The performances, and particularly this one today, they have no respect for the guy.
None.
Because whether you're playing badly, whether you're injured, whether things are not going well for you, when you respect the guy who's in charge, you still give everything for them because you know he'll still be fighting, he'll still be giving you orders, he'll still be trying to get you going. This has got, I've got no respect for the, and I dare say it, not just the manager, but the coaching staff that you see sitting on the bench. I don't think this team respects them. And I think you see it on the field with the effort that's not there.
I mean, he had a decent reputation as a coach. He's never really coached at the elite level in terms of big clubs. He's coached provincial clubs that he's built a platform. However, his reputation as a coach at the moment is getting smashed from pillar to post. Mm. But that is due to the fact that he's allowing these players who, as Stevie said, don't respect him and don't seem to have the bottle for playing for this club, but he's allowing them to drag by playing them. He might as well have 2 months ago just put 3 or 4 of them in the reserves and said, don't even want to see you.
Right.
I'll play the kids. I might as well play the younger players.
Which someone like Conte would have done if he came in. You'd imagine he would have come in, picked out the bad apples and said, right, off you go.
Yeah, where you go.
He'd have tried to get a tune out of them, and if he didn't get a tune out of them, and if he smelt there was a sense there was a bad smell from them, he would have binned them.
Yeah.
And he went to the board, and he'd done all these banging in the desk and doing all that, but he'd have been able to try and sort it out. I think the whole interim thing with Ranić is betwixt in between.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem.
The rest of them should be embarrassed, by the way, because the young kid Hannibal came on for 15, 20 minutes. And he showed every single one of them that had been on there the whole game what it was all about. This is how you chase. This is how you look as though you're bothered. This has got desire on it. This is I want to play for Man United.
But he almost got sent off, though, to be fair.
But you know what? That's fantastic.
Right.
Because the kid's showing you what he's got. He's got some guts and he's got desire. And you've got 9 others, I'll keep the hair out, who are running around waiting on the final whistle. They need 11 of that guy. Not 10 of those others.
We've mentioned Ten Hag, of course, big favourites to take over, Robbo. If you're him, what do you do? You take the job, obviously. It's a big profile job. You want to make that big impression in the Premier League. You believe in yourself. But what's your kind of first task to try and sort this out?
Well, the first task is that you have a look at the players, because I think Ranić came in and thought, I'm going to play my system. And he then looked at the players and thought, they can't play my system because, as he's mentioned, they're not quite fit enough. So when he comes in, Ten Hag, he's got to come up with a game plan that suits the players and stick with it and make sure they get some results out of it. And then with every transfer window, he's got to get the style of player that he wants, and then he can change the game plan to suit what suits him rather than the other way around. But he's going to have to go in to start with. He's going to have to just get a structure that suits the players and gets them getting some sort of results at the start of next season. And then he can then develop it from there.
It's hard to think that Solskjaer, who, I mean, as Stevie said, they've got worse. I mean, he should never have been there. For those, if there's anybody still hankering on the fact they had got to second place, this is what happens when you let, just allow mediocrity rot in there and try and paint the, pull the wool over people's eyes and yeah. say, well, we're going the right direction, everybody's smiling and nobody's getting upset at the training ground. But it's hard to think, it was hard to think when they got beat at Watford and he would come in that they would actually get worse. Bear in mind what's around about them. Their Premier League is not great. Yeah. City and Liverpool are terrific. Chelsea are decent. Pretty good. The rest? I mean, what United are fighting for fourth place with are not, they're average. Yeah. And then the others, my goodness. There's some right guff in this league for the money, millions that is spent, and yet this team continue to struggle. It's amazing. I mean, the other thing as well, they're going to probably give Paul Pogba his second free transfer. I mean, you look at some of the decisions, and deservedly so. I wouldn't keep him. I'm going to free.
But why did you let it get to this?
But who wants to pay Paul? I mean, just talking about Pogba, had to go off today, but as a big star, 500 grand or whatever it is a week. Who the hell would pay that? I'm not minding it, but seriously, it's mind-boggling, some of this stuff.
It took two teams to tango. Let's give some love to Liverpool. That second goal was a bit special, Stevie, today.
Yeah, when you're in tune with each other, I mean, you're talking about a centre-back to the full-back, to the centre-forward, to the wide attacking player, and then it's a little ball hit in behind, and then it's a clean finish. Yes, Manchester United are rotten. But that would have taken some defending against. That's just the honest truth. It's first time, it's sharp, and it's the movement. And when you stick it all together, that's what you get. Smashing a little goal like that.
But it might not have happened if he hadn't played a back three, because you've got Diego Dalot on the left-hand side there, and he's I think it's him and I think it was Lindelof. And he doesn't know if he's going to go out to the wide man as a wing-back or whether he needs to come and cover. Because he's got three centre-halves there and a left-sided centre-half, so he's he thinks, right, I've got an extra man, he's going to cover. So
he definitely got it wrong, and it shows in the first goal.
Right.
Because Harry Maguire, when you're a centre-back and you know, your invisible nine or whatever you want to call it is dropping in.
He calls it that.
I can't call it anything else.
False nine.
I can't call it that. I've got to call it invisible. You either do one thing or the other. If you're Harry Maguire or any other centre-back, you either stay away and let him go and get it, or you stay with him. And what did Harry Maguire do? He went right in the middle. He didn't stay. He stepped, but he stepped halfway. He let Manny turn and play the pass in behind. And then you saw how easy it was, Salah. Cross the box and the ball's in the back of the net.
So it's a
horrible decision to play the players he did.
It's a warning sign. So, listen, this is great because it's put a marker down to Man City again.
Exactly.
Which is what Liverpool needed to do. I don't think anybody really felt this result was going to be. I mean, it would have been a shock if this result had gone any other way. That's how bad United are. But this has just put another marker down, which is the only thing Liverpool can do is say to City, OK, this is the standard and we're not going to let this go between now and the end of the season. You're going to have to match that if you're going to win this league. That's a pretty good position to be in.
Who's going to win this league? Robbo?
On the evidence of Saturday, I thought Manchester City looked very poor in the game and Liverpool played that high intensity. And I don't think Liverpool are going to tire. So at the moment, my thoughts are that Liverpool are going to go and win it. I think they're going to win most of their games from now to the end of the season. And Man City are just having a blip. And I think Pep Guardiola is having a bit of a panic at the moment. So Liverpool for me.
Well, they did. You were at the game, Rob. Well, they did. Mm. Oh, was you? I don't know you weren't. They did leave out a lot of players for that game. I mean, it was quite obvious what his tactic was, resting some of the players. No?
But they were also knocked out their stride by Atletico Madrid. Everyone praised Man City for their performance to get a 0-0 draw, but I've never seen them knocked out of their stride as they were by Atletico Madrid in that second game. So there's just one or two issues with Man City at the moment. I think they're a great team. They've got a great manager. But just at the moment, I think they might just struggle a bit.
Where are you on this?
I'm going to stay with City because it's in their hands.
Right.
It's very hard to disagree with Robbo that right now two teams, the condition they're in and the impression you're getting from what they're displaying is that Liverpool are flying and City, albeit who are ahead in the title race just because they've got that game in hand, are not quite free-flowing. You can't argue with that. But you know what? I'm going to go with the fact that it's City's to lose. And I think when they step on the field, that's the one thing that will be in the back of their mind, that it's in their own hands.
I think it tells you how important De Bruyne just is to the whole system, is that he just didn't want to bring him on at the weekend. And he did look a bit leggy against Atletico in Madrid. He's been absolutely brilliant, but he has been desperate. He's been desperate for a rest. Well, he got it, albeit in a game where they lost. But I think if his form dips a little bit, that's going to be a big problem. Bearing in mind that they haven't got this natural striker. He just offers so much. I still just sticking with City, but I see where Rob was coming from. I would not be surprised with the tiredness if they were to draw a game, and that might just be the difference between winning this league. I mean, it is so tight.
It is Brighton, of course, tomorrow for Manchester City. It's great for us, isn't it? What, we're in the final lap of the season, yet still all to play for at the top of the league. To keep up to date with all our thoughts, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Real Madrid at the top of the table, are almost home and hose when it comes to the championship. That's after that dramatic comeback on Sunday. I tell you what, these days, Robert, you can never write Real Madrid off.
No, you can't. I mean, they've got a great mentality. They've got some very good players in the attacking areas that can always score goals. Ancelotti has made some decent changes. He doesn't change the system and change the tactics. He just changes the personnel when he thinks one or two players aren't doing particularly well. But they've got that winning mentality that if things aren't quite going their way, they believe they can get back into the games. And that was the case against Sevilla.
Must be great to be in that position, Stevie. Even when you're down and you're looking at it and you're thinking, how are we going to come back? They keep finding a way.
No, it is. And it's built up over time. You know, you don't just appear and it happens. All of a sudden, regardless of what's going on during the game, regardless of what the score is, you just have the feeling that you can get it back. Regardless of how ridiculous it might seem, because they've put themselves in some ridiculous positions. You think against Chelsea. I mean, come on. A ridiculous position to be in.
Yeah.
And the way they played in the first half against Sevilla, you wouldn't have put a penny on them coming back in. But guess what? They do it again. So, yeah, it's an amazing thing to have that feeling personally. But when you know everybody else on the field's thinking the same thing, it just drives you forward.
Robbo, does Ancelotti get enough credit tactically for what he does?
Well, what he should get credit for is at the beginning of the season, he decided what tactics he wanted to play, and he stuck with them over the weeks, and they play the same system, the same formation, they play the same style of football all the time. What he has done well is make changes while the game's going on, but not in terms of the tactics, just in terms of the personnel. The one time he did try and change the tactics was against Barcelona, when they lost 4-0, and he took the blame for that. That's the only time he's really changed the system or the style of play. So he has to take credit for making sure they have a good structure, but also he's made some good changes with the personnel in particular games.
I mean, he's not a magician. I mean, these are all big clubs with big players that he's managed. He went in, I mean, he's done some good work, particularly early on at AC Milan. But even he couldn't go into Everton and turn that mess around. You know what I mean? So there's only so much you can do. It's who you've got to work with. And, you know, his big players have turned up big for him. Luka Modric at 36 has had another great season. Benzema and Vinicius Junior. Vinicius Junior, who nobody foresaw the level of consistency or the quality we're going to see from. We knew he was a good player, but we didn't know he was going to have that partnership with Benzema. And of course, Benzema himself has been amazing. And they haven't played. We've done a lot of these games. They have played average quite a lot this year, but there's always been moments of brilliance.
Yeah, yeah.
There's never been like a Liverpool or a Man City performance where you just, I take it back. The first half at Chelsea was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. It could have been, they could have been four up. But as a generalisation, they haven't, you don't watch them that often and go, wow, that's incredible football, but they've had some incredible results. That being said, I must say, it does say a lot about the rest when this side had all these problems in the summer and they're now 15 points clear. Sevilla, Lopetegui has spent the whole season telling these players they can't win this league.
Yeah.
Right? When they were in the fight,
yeah,
2 months ago, when they were in the fight, we can't win it, we can't win it. Atletico have been a disgrace. They're so negative. And obviously Barcelona have been a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So all they needed, was a bit of consistency. And they clearly have been the most consistent team in Spain.
To that point, obviously, that consistency has put them 15 points clear at the top of the table. They don't really have to worry about what's going on domestically. They're going to win La Liga, which is completely in contrast to what Manchester City have to concern themselves with. How much does that affect those two Champions League legs?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how many... for example, we're doing Real Madrid... Osasuna tomorrow.
Yes.
What will the lineup be? He's got to try and make sure, you know, Modric, Kroos, and all these guys, Casemiro when he plays in the middle of the park, particularly the first two, they're in their 30s. They need a rest. They need to be fresh. Modric can pull the strings. He can't afford any injuries to Benzema. So he's going to... Listen, he can give them a rest.
Right.
But then there's a balance, isn't there, between rest and sharpness.
Yeah, that's kind of the key. How do you find that balance?
Listen, the key for Real Madrid, in my opinion, is they're used to kind of being up and down.
Right.
You know, Chris has been talking about how many times we've seen them, and it's a great 45, it's a poor 45, it's a great 20 minutes, it's a great 30 minutes here and there. And so they're not used to being like Man City, who... for the most of the season, I've just been on this great ship that's just sailing along in a nice, easy sea. So Real Madrid, regardless of what's thrown at them, know that they can turn it around. They can figure it out and get the job done. Whereas I think right now with City, the only thing that against them is they're kind of in waters that are not quite as calm as they used to be. And they've never faced that this season.
Right.
So we don't know how they're going to cope with that. Now, they're so good that you expect them to. But if you look at Real Madrid, you know they're going to cope and you know they're going to come up with an answer.
Robbo, to the point of sharpness and rest, how do you balance that?
Well, over the season, Ancelotti's tried to play the same players week in, week out because he doesn't trust the players below that. But it comes a point where you've got some big games coming up now against Man City. You've already won La Liga, there's no doubt about that. So he could, in this game against Osasuna, rest one or two of the key players, as Craig was mentioning. You don't want Modric to get injured. You don't want him to be tired going into Man City because you're going to need him. He's going to have to play the game of his life. You're going to need Benzema playing the game of his life. You're going to need Vinicius Junior having the game of his life against Man City if Real Madrid want to win. So if there's any chance to rest players, it is against Osasuna.
Yeah, we do know that Luka Modric won't be playing, won't feature tomorrow against Osasuna in Pamplona. Karim Benzema apparently will, according to Carlo Ancelotti. It is a game that you can see live here on ESPN Plus at 3:30. Real Madrid with a chance to go 18 points clear at the top of La Liga table. But of course, there was talk at one stage of the season after the Clásico that maybe Barcelona could pull off the miracle and catch them. Well, that obviously is nowhere near happening now after a poor run for Xavi. It's interesting when you take a look at his win percentage or lack of it compared to Ronald Koeman, who of course was sacked earlier in the season. Koeman's is actually better than the Barca legend. Robbo, what was so striking about that defeat against Cadiz was how they kind of gone back to that Koeman style of play in that everything was flat, everything was horizontal.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. There was not enough penetration with their passing. Too many passes going round the back. Dembele, I thought, was excellent on the right wing, but then didn't find the final pass or get the right shot away. Frankie de Jong went back to being the player he was under Koeman, which was too slow and passing it square and backwards, giving it away cheaply at times. And I think one or two of the younger players, Gavi, didn't look quite at his best. And Ferran Torres didn't always make the right runs. And Memphis Depay looked way off the pace. When he was coming to receive the ball with his back to go, he kept on giving it away. So there was a lot of things wrong with the game. But if you say, is this team better under Xavi than it was under Koeman? There's no doubt about it. This team is a much better side under Xavi than it was under Koeman.
What's the motivation for now until the end of the season, Robbo, for them?
Well, they've got to, for the players, it's got, I've got to put in good performances week in, week out. For the 60,000 that turn up, I've got to put in good performances to tell Xavi that I'm the player you need next season to play in the right positions. You've got to, when you're playing for a club like Barcelona, Real Madrid, or Chelsea, or Man City, as a player, you have to play well week in, week out, because if you don't, you're going to be out the side. And you could be out the club in a year or so's time. So there's lots of motivation to play well and keep improving and improving. And that's what Xavi's got to do. He's got to improve this side. So next season, they are vying for the title.
Well, the motivation is they're not guaranteed to be in the...
Champions League, yeah.
Get more results like that, more inconsistency like that, then is, you know, is inconsistent to some of the other teams have been. Barcelona are showing that as well. So that is a motivation. To go back to Stuart's point, they are a better side, more pleasing on the eye. However, next year, it'll be about good football and results.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what the game boils down to. So he'll get away with it to a certain extent this year. There's no doubt there's been an improvement in the football that they've played. But he has brought players in as well. I mean, he's brought a lot better quality player in than what Koeman was given, to be fair to him. But next year it'll be down to results as well as the football, and then we'll find out.
Barcelona then in action on Thursday as they're away against Real Sociedad. That game live on ESPN Plus at 3:30 Eastern. Then we'll be live on ESPN FC at the full-time whistle. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Huge game on Wednesday regarding the race for the top four. Chelsea take on Arsenal. Chelsea favourites going into this tie. Arteta's side have fallen by the wayside over recent weeks. After all that momentum they built up, Robbo, it seems to have all gone wrong. Where?
Well, their squad isn't quite good enough. They've lost their left back, who's a good player, Tierney, so he's not been in the side, and he gave them a lot of drive going forward down the left-hand side. Tomiyasu, I thought, did really well at right back. He's been out for a while, and of course Lacazette has been in and out the side. So Nketiah has been playing at centre forward in the last game, which I don't think he's quite good enough to play for Arsenal. And there's always been a lack of real structure about they play. When they play well, they can play very well. They play on the counter-attack, they've got quick players, but when they're not playing well, they can be quite open, they're easy to play against, and that's been the case in the last two or three games.
Can they turn it around now? Can they get something
going? I don't think they're going to turn it around against Chelsea. Chelsea look as if they've found their mojo a little bit again after the embarrassment of the first leg of the Real Madrid game. They came out, they battered Southampton, they performed really well in Madrid, didn't win. Wasn't a brilliant game at Wembley, brilliant performance from them, but they controlled it enough and were the better side. I'll add another player into... The two full-backs for Arsenal have been huge, but Thomas Partey as well, since I think the Crystal Palace game, that's 2.5 games. Yeah. They can't afford to not have him in the side because they haven't got a replacement in there to protect that back four. And for all those reasons, I can see Arsenal now losing four in a row. I just can't, because I think Chelsea are just going to be too strong for them.
How do you stop this if you're Arteta?
I don't think you can. You know, I think the biggest problem recently has been putting the ball in the net.
Right.
And he can't make changes. He doesn't have options to change it. So you can't change it. Because, you know, Martinelli, you can't rely on to put the ball in the back of the net. Saka, you can't rely on him either for that. Lacazette's got 2 goals all year, something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. Odegaard, yes, he scored a great goal a couple of weeks ago, but it was too little too late. And Nketiah, as Robbo says, isn't good enough. Yeah. So how do you change it? You know, you look at Chelsea, How do they change it? Well, they've got options.
Sure.
That Arsenal just don't have.
So
you're stuck with it.
So do you give them a pass for this run, for not getting into the top four, when I'm sure, like, just a couple of months ago, we thought maybe they were favourites to do so?
Well, everybody will go back to the Aubameyang scenario.
Right.
I mean, I personally think it was the right thing to get him out. And that's a decision that the manager had to make, one way or the other. But then you really could do with somebody. I mean, Lacazette stepped up and he's played okay, but he hasn't got the amount of goals, and that's the big difference. So,
unfortunately, you wouldn't touch any of these teams.
No,
would
I wouldn't.
You?
Yeah, well, put it one way: the rest of the Champions League teams will not be quaking in the boots if one of these teams gets.
No, it's so weird.
Unfortunately for Arsenal, they actually got themselves in an incredible position.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago, where they were sitting in fourth, and they had something like three games in hand. And you're looking at it, and you're looking at the table, going, "How can they mess this up?"
Well, they can lose three in a row.
But then it started unravelling. They're losing some goals and they can't put the ball in the net.
But go back to what Robbo was saying. I don't, you can talk about strikers all you want, but the two fullbacks, Tomiyasu and Tierney, the two of them, they're a bit of a throwback because they both want to get forward and they both want to defend and they're prepared to do so. They almost run. So for the likes of Saka and Martinelli and the rest of them, you've got two guys that are always supporting and always getting back in. And when you take that out the side, and don't forget Tierney as well. Tierney's a great outlet down that left-hand side in particular. Mm. I mean, he's more attacking than Tomiyasu. He's more likely to get down that wide position and whip a ball in. So that's been a big miss for them as well, obviously with the goal-scoring problems. And, you know, losing to Southampton, to Palace, and now all of a sudden they're in the business end and they're staring four straight defeats in a row and they're going to a team who've started to play a little bit better again.
Does Arteta get a pass, though, because of these injuries, Robbo?
To a certain degree, you know, I'm not sure he's the answer to Arsenal getting to be a top club again, but I think they've overachieved a little bit this season. I didn't think they would get into the top four. They should have been at the home and dry about 3 weeks ago, as we were saying, before they had the defeats. I think he's got the best out of most of the players he's got. They've missed the players when they've needed them. I would like to see him have more structures in their play, so when they're not playing with confidence, when they're not playing at their best, they can still win games. Because as soon as they drop their level by maybe 10% because they're losing confidence or they might not be quite fully fit, that's when they look an easy side to play against. We saw that against Crystal Palace, and we've seen that on other occasions. So he's got to do more with the structure of the team, but overall, I can't say he's done a bad job.
Prediction, Robbo?
I think Chelsea will win the game by a couple of goals to nil.
You agree, Craig? Yeah?
Yep, I'm with Chelsea in this one.
Yep.
Yep.
Easy peasy, yep.
Easy peasy, says Steve Nicol.
Yep.
Extra time is available, as always, on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check that out when the boys stay late to answer some of your questions.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a game between two arch rivals. Lewandowski!
Erling Haaland!
Dortmund absolutely superb! Bayern is on fire!
So the Clásico then this weekend as Bayern Munich take on Borussia Dortmund. Coverage starts at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be live with you tomorrow at the full-time whistle of Real Madrid Osasuna to look back at that game, plus also to reflect on Chelsea against Arsenal, Manchester City in action as well. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. Stuart Robson as well. Looking dapper today, Stevie.
Not sure about that.
Well, actually, I was going to wear a black tie as well.
It's turned up.
I did fear for Man United. But I see.
No, a little bit of pink.
You used to be like, was you Frank Sinatra's bodyguard? You're retired now.
I was a stunt double, you know.
Ah, dear. Robert, you haven't...
Have you ever seen him dressed like that?
I don't know. I like it, though. I think it's good.
I thought I'll put the black shirt on and the black pants, and I thought, you know what?
Why'd you put black pants on when no one can see them?
Sorry?
No one can see your pants.
Makes a change from those yellow shirts.
You said
I had a black shirt on and I had a black pant, and I thought, you know what?
Rob, well, can you see?
I spied this tie on the right.
I can see him.
Hey, it's good, isn't it, Robbo?
Perfect with a black shirt, eh?
What I would say is, over the last few weeks, I think Steve's style has improved 100%. He used to look like a right scruff bag, but he looks very good these days.
Yes, but it was
paraffin.
It was a low bar, wasn't it, Stuart?
And what's happened to you, Robert? You haven't even made an effort tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen how you dress, Dan, and usually you wear a round neck top underneath your jacket, so I thought I'd go along your sort of route.
I think I wore that once. That was it.
Well, those glasses were something else, weren't they?
I know, you're obsessed with my glasses. I didn't mean to wear them. I didn't want to wear them.
Well, why don't you wear glasses, by the way?
Why don't you shut up?
I said to him earlier, hey, look at that, and he's like,
that's reading glasses. I don't need glasses apart from when I look at your tie.
I don't need highlights, he's like that. And he get the ball too, and once he gets the ball,
I don't have highlight sheets. What was I gonna say?
Glasses, you haven't got my glasses.
No. I understand you had a problem with your contact lenses.
Yeah, yes.
However, you could have went for something less obvious, like clear rims.
No, but they're just glasses that I've had for years, isn't it? I'm not going to go out and buy glasses just for, well, a couple of days.
I would have done
Thank you for the glasses advice. So don't you wear Cheryl's glasses most of the time?
I wear any glasses to read if I need to read.
Stevie, when speaking
you
of
look
how...
like a right Muppet.
Oh, yes, I know that. I'm not going to pretend.
Joe 90, what up? How many?
Stevie, when speaking of how Fergie developed United's winning culture, you said he develops his culture with younger players who are more malleable at Aberdeen as well. Should the new United coach get the same opportunity and go younger?
Well, at this stage, the supposed dyed-in-the-wool pros, experienced guys, look as though they need chucked out the door. So maybe it wouldn't be the worst way to go. At the same time, you need to have a certain standard of ability to bring into Manchester United, and then you can maybe start growing that culture. So it sounds easy, but it's actually very difficult to do.
Man United are a once-in-a-generation period of...
It doesn't happen often. Yeah.
All these guys coming through at once. It happens at a few clubs. A few players come through, and then they had probably five or six. To get that again within the next 20 or 30 years, is the chance right. That slim to none.
He was at Anfield today, wasn't he? I was surprised. Why bother?
Yeah, he must have knew what was coming.
he's getting paid to be there, isn't he?
All right. Okay.
He doesn't have a choice.
For Craig, thoughts on Maguire defending his own performance and saying, I wouldn't be playing for every game for Manchester United in the starting 11 if I'd been playing bad every game. There's a reason why both managers have put me in the starting 11 every game.
Nobody else.
He's got to defend himself a bit, hasn't he? Like, he's been taking a lot of stick.
Yeah, but you don't answer those questions.
Well,
because you can't get it right.
The reason that he's in the side is not necessarily because he hasn't been playing bad, but the others have been possibly worse.
Right.
That's not exactly a pat on the back, is it? A feather in the cap. He's not been good. He's been all right for England, to be fair. I didn't agree with the England fans booing him. I thought that was a disgrace, to be quite frank, because his performances for England have been pretty good.
Right.
And it's up to Southgate if he wants to go home. For Man United, though, at his club, not been good enough.
For a reporter to ask you that, to specifically look you in the face and ask you that question.
Right.
They're asking for a reaction. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
That's why you don't answer the question.
Okay.
You just ignore it. Because whatever you say, it's not going to... You can't win. So you don't answer those types of questions.
Why has he become the fall guy for all of this, it seems, pretty much, Robbo, in the UK, as opposed to someone maybe like Bruno Fernandes?
Because he's made some clear mistakes earlier on in the season. He's the England captain, or has been the England captain, so I think he's had most of the publicity. The fans have had a little bit of a go at him for England, as Craig was mentioning. The press thought he was the bloke to have a go at. And he's the leader. And of course, they then had the little spat by saying that Ronaldo and him didn't get on, and Ronaldo wanted the captaincy. So I think they've been a bit unfair with their criticism of him in terms of a leader. Maybe not as a player. I think he's a very good player, but he's lost his confidence completely. He doesn't come out with the ball as he once did. He's making poor decisions, as we saw tonight, when he could have gone tighter to Mane. So he's a player short on confidence, but he's not a bad player.
It's a classic case of going in somewhere and the standards are so low and have become so low at Man United, unfortunately for them, is that he, I think, has sunk down to that. We shouldn't forget, although they couldn't agree a fee, that Manchester City were trying to buy him.
Yep.
And I'm telling you now, he wouldn't be this player if Man City had him, because that manager does not suffer people who are not on top of the game. And then he would raise his game with everybody around him, because the players at that club and the players at Liverpool have just set such high standards. If somebody's not delivering, they're out the team or they get a roasting from the coach. At Man United, it's different. They've suffered mediocrity for quite a while now, and he's just gone down to that level. But City tried to buy him, they just wouldn't go all the way in terms of the fee that Man United would.
We're talking this during the game. Who has gone to Manchester United over the last 5 years and got better?
I can't remember
it. Everyone. It just seems to go there. It's just almost a graveyard for performances, for quality. Everyone just goes there and gets worse. For Stevie, Alisson saves Liverpool every week when the score is level, when Liverpool have a narrow lead. Is he making his centre-backs look better than they are? And is he more important than Van Dijk?
I 100% agree with the statement about every single game he seems to make a one-on-one. I don't think that it's the centre-back's fault. I blame the coaching staff, because Liverpool defend with such a high line that it doesn't take an awful lot for a team to get in behind. You know, it just takes one person to be a step off the other three.
Right.
There's nobody closing the ball. You know, certainly... Before the Premier League, shall we say,
yes,
you did not hold the line if the ball wasn't being closed. That was just a pretty much a blanket rule. Nowadays, nobody does that.
Would you just explain that a little bit? What do you mean by that?
Well, when there's nobody closing the ball, then the man on the ball can pretty much pick out a pass wherever he wants.
Okay.
He can stick it in behind, he can stick it short, so you can't gamble on holding the line. As soon as somebody closes the ball, then you can hold the line. That was basically the rule.
Right.
Now, particularly Liverpool, they just hold a line. Hold a line. And they've obviously been told. And there are some good teams and some good players in the Premier League. And when you're playing against them and they get it right, they get the timing right, then you're done.
So is he more important than Van Dijk?
No.
That's a funny face.
No, because having just agreed with the fact that it seems like every game he's saving a one-on-one when it's an important stage of the game,
yep,
then you have to take your time and think about the question, Dan.
Oh, no, I like it.
You've got to Philadelphia to visit family.
Yep.
Are you also doing... You've really got like a hit job down there or something. you got a mob job down there when you're down for a few quid.
It depends, something might come up while I'm always ready.
Right, it'd be ready to rumble.
I'm always ready.
Robbo, which stadium was
knocking the door, dress with the old...
Which stadium was the most intimidating away day when you were playing?
Most intimidating stadium, I would say, when I first started playing, it had to be Anfield, because they were the best team. and you went there knowing you weren't going to get too many touches of the ball. If you didn't play at your very best, you were going to get thrashed, and the crowd were going to get onto your back and give you a bit of stick as well. So Liverpool was the most intimidating place to go and play in the 80s when Liverpool were at the top of their game.
Oh, and Steve Nicol was playing.
Yeah, he was intimidated as well.
Before
he moved on to the edge of a cliff.
Before he moved on to his side jobs.
Fell through a hole in the roof.
Garbage collection. Stevie, most intimidating?
I can't honestly say I was ever particularly intimidated anywhere. There were some places that he didn't enjoy going to.
Right.
Like Millwall, for it, the old Millwall.
Yeah.
Not because people were mental, because it was actually quite fun to see people doing stupid and crazy things and screaming, and but it was just the feel was never very good because of the wire fencing.
Yeah,
it made everything feel a little smaller, so it was just a little more awkward to play.
Right,
but intimidating. I can't say I was ever intimidated.
No, you're not intimidated.
Well,
early,
Old Trafford was. I mean, although United were sort of probably around the best team at that time in the 90s. Old Trafford was never really an intimidating place. A good place to go and play, a big pitch. I would have to say, I'm a bit like him, but I'd have to say Ibrox then.
Right.
From the Celtic Rangers point of view.
Yeah.
That was kind of nasty. But there wasn't intimidating.
Thiago Silva to Chelsea, Robbo. Zlatan to Milan or Dani Alves to Barcelona. Which senior had a higher impact on the team and dressing room?
Oh, could you say those three again? So Thiago to Chelsea?
Yeah, Thiago Silva to Chelsea, Zlatan to Milan, or Dani Alves to Barcelona?
I would say Thiago Silva to Chelsea. I didn't expect him to play as many games. I didn't expect him to be quite as good. I knew he was a good player, but I thought he was past his best. But I've watched some games this season where he's been the outstanding player on the pitch. He's been composed, he's been good on the ball, he's been good in the air. And he seems to have a calming influence on the players around him. So I would say him, as he's been the best transfer and had the biggest influence on his club.
Final question. What are Mr. Nicol's celebration plans if Liverpool win the quadruple? Shepherd's pies for everyone in the studio?
Probably not. I'll have a beer.
Oh.
I mean, usually.
And what if they don't win the quadruple?
I'll have a beer.
Oh, yeah, there we go. thank you very much, Stevie. Have a good holiday. Stay out of trouble.
Stay away from
me. I'm not going on holiday. I'm going babysitting is what I'm doing.
Well, that's fun. You're not working.
Just like you're not.
Just like that.
It's good.
ESPN.
Though, isn't it?
I like it. It's all right. There you are. Yeah.
Might wear that again for you then, so if you behave yourself.
Different tie. What,
you must get some pink glasses or something to match the tie.
Have you got a variation?
Stevie, wear a white shirt and you can wear the pink tie. Black shirt and pink. Doesn't go.
Well, don't listen.
Robbo, he doesn't own a white shirt because he's been telling me he can sell a white shirt, so I can't
Robbo,
wear a white
shirt. Robbo, he doesn't own a white shirt. He's got all these stupid colours.
Oh, get a white shirt. It's clean and crisp. You look $1 million, Stevie, in a white shirt.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You said I looked $1 million earlier. Make your mind up.
Well,
that makes
joking.
You look slim. You carry on.
Yeah, there we go. That is it. ESPN FC back to me and you in the studio, isn't it, tomorrow, Craig, as we'll be reflecting on Chelsea against Arsenal, Real Madrid in action as well, plus Manchester City against Brighton.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.